Show 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio live today from Chickie's at Pete's at South Philly. Join us this evening at 6 for a special guest bartending event with Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. It's a great event, Birds of the Half, as we discuss a football team right now that sits at 8-2, headed for a trip to L.A. against the Rams on Sunday. And Kyle, our next guest, is with us to talk all things Eagles football at the half.
Yeah, Seth Joyner, sponsored by Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook. New users can score up to a $1,000 casino bonus in their first 24 hours. BetParks.com, must be 21, in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing today?
What's up, fellas?
Seth, you know, we're sitting here at the half, or, you know, kind of halfway through the season, especially if it goes deep into the playoffs, and we're looking at a team that has now won 6 games in a row. They're 8-2. Seth, when you look at how good they've become, is this now, when you view the team, the kind of year that is a Super Bowl or bust kind of year? Like, have you started thinking about the Super Bowl when it comes to this year's Eagles team and their potential?
No, I think, you know, with an analytical mind, you know, like I have, I think, you know, you just look at the team continuing, you know, to get better. You know, there's nothing wrong with the fans looking at it from that perspective. But, you know, the way the team started to where they've evolved to, and even where they've got to evolve to be able to beat, you know, the Detroit Lions football team, and where they've got to evolve to either take on a Kansas City or a Buffalo, you know, in the Super Bowl. You know, my mind is just continuing to watch this football team progress and get better defensively. I think that they're tracking in a way where they're going to continue to get better. I think they've only scratched the surface of how good they can be defensively. And offensively, you know, waiting for the passing game to round into shape. The running game is established. We know that we can get that when we commit to it. But the Eagles are going to face an opponent somewhere down the line that's going to be able to continuously keep Saquon under wraps for a game. And Jalen's going to have to put the game on his arm, and he's going to have to figure out a way to pass the ball for 275-plus yards and 2 passing touchdowns to get that done. I'm not worried about it because I've seen him do it before, like many people. But that's just the progression, the next progression that I'm looking for.
You know, Seth, I'm kind of curious because when you look at this defense now, do you have to look at them with a different kind of prism? Because at the beginning of the season, when you talk about the defensive line playing, the lack of the pass rush and everything, it's not – it doesn't skew like a traditional defense like the one you played on. So have you found yourself having to look at them from a different kind of perspective when you grade them?
No, because I think you have to, you know, it's so hard to compare, Hugh, the teams that I played on and the teams that you played on with this current team, because the game is just different, mm-hmm. you know. So they're facing a different type of offense with different mentalities, you know, from week to week. So I don't really look at it, you know, in that way. I'm just looking at it like, okay, the basic fundamentals. Okay, they're better against the run mm-hmm. Than they've been, you know, since they won the Super Bowl in 2017. Mm-hmm. I mean, even that year they were giving up 121 yards per game on the ground. Right now they're giving up slightly over 90, I think it's like 93 yards per game, and I think they're ranked in the top 3 or 4 teams in the National Football League against the run. That has to continue. You know, they're finding ways, you know, pass rush-wise to be efficient, even though I don't believe they're not a great pass rushing front. They're mm-hmm. a good pass rushing front, but they're not a great pass rushing front because they don't have that dominant edge guy that you can count on that's going to give you, you know, double-digit sacks or a guy that you have to fear from week to week. Mm-hmm. But where they are better at, you know, than I've seen them in a long time is on the back end. You know, that back end has just played phenomenal with these young guys, and I think the young guys have inspired the older guys to step their game up because, you know, Gardner Johnson and Blankenship, you know, those guys have played much, much better the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Seth Joyner joining us here. It's Birds of the Half. We're live at Chickie's at Pete's today. All right, Seth, you mentioned that passing game, and I agree with you. It feels like if they're going to beat Detroit, let's say, in the title game, that's the one part of the team that has to be more efficient, be better between now and late January. Seth, when you watch it, why do you think it's so much of a slog in the passing game? Because I agree with you. They have they have the talent, right? That Jalen has done this before. They have great receivers. They have a coordinator that's done it before. So there's no reason. They have all the personnel to do it, but it's obvious they're just not a great passing game right now. What do you notice? What do you think's going on in the passing game that's holding it back right now?
Well, I think in order to be a great quarterback, you know, you have to understand and know a system in a way that, you know, when a player's called, you can tell where all five, all four, all three wide receivers are in the pattern. And I think that, you know, when I look at their passing game, their route combinations, you know, a lot of teams set up their route combinations to beat coverages. I think that, you know, when you look at our route combos are set up, you know, for specific players to win, no matter what the coverages are. And I think that hurts them. The other thing, you know, I just spoke about Jalen understanding where everyone is. You know, a lot of times when you see him missing wide receivers, and I put a tweet out this weekend because I watch Lamar Jackson, I watch Josh Allen. I watched them miss receivers, not only miss wide open receivers because they didn't see him, but I saw them overthrow, underthrow, some of the same things that the local media and the national media just grill Jalen on all the time. They make the same mistakes, but they don't take the kind of criticism that Jalen takes, and I think it's unfair. But at the same time, I do believe that, you know, there are certain routes within their passing scheme that's set up for certain players to get the ball. And Jalen will stay on that route, believing that those guys will come open, even in situations where they can't or they don't get open. And now he's in panic mode and he's got to take off. Instead of just going through the natural progression, like they have high-low concepts, okay? You want to progress from high to low. And there's always a guy that's low. There's always a guy that you can dump the ball off to. But their mentality is explosive play. So they're looking for the explosive play down the field. And by the time he realizes that, and sometimes he misses that guy underneath because he stays on that deep route too long. And sometimes I just feel like, you know, he misses him, you know. So just getting him to a place where it's like, okay, I'm going to look high. It ain't there. One, two, okay, check it down. You know, just take what the defense is giving you instead of trying to force the ball down the field. Because the way that you run the ball and when you attack, and with the short to intermediate stuff, there's going to come a point in time where those things are going to be open. And then you attack. But they have this propensity to try to force the ball down the field in certain situations. And I do believe that it's a combination of how Jalen is being coached and his mentality to get the ball to A.J. down the field, to get the ball to Devontae down the field, rather than taking the short to intermediate stuff, the for sure layups, you know, that are right there in front of him. And until he changes his mentality about how he attacks that, the passing game is going to continue to struggle because there's opportunities there. You just got to take what the defense is giving you and be ready to take the shots down the field when those opportunities present themselves later on. You always have to set it up. Buddy used to always tell us, you have to earn the right to rush the passer. You have to earn the right for me to call blitzes. How do you do that? You make them one-dimensional by shutting down their run game. When they can't run it, they have to pass it. Now we got them in a predictable situation. Now we can take shots. We can come after them. We can create opportunities that way.
Yeah, it feels like a fine line between the short stuff and then and taking those shots down the field, and they got to find it. Seth, last one for you while we have you. Need your reaction to the latest story that came out yesterday with the Sixers, Joel Embiid. I mean, you lived a life in locker rooms. You've been talking about stuff that comes out in locker rooms since. Seth, what's your reaction to what happened the other night where a teammate, Tyrese Maxey, called Joel Embiid out on not being on time and not doing everything the team needs him to do to help them? It felt like a big thing, and then obviously it leaked out, so we got a chance to react to it. What does that say to you that it got to that point?
Well, it doesn't surprise me because, in my opinion, I think that, you know, the organization has been empowering Embiid to be who he is and how he is for a very long time. You know, when you got a seven-footer and he refuses to get down on the blocks, to me, that's problematic. Because as a coaching staff, you're the one that's drawing up the plays. You're the one that's in charge. Who's the adult in the room? Tell him what you want him to do and make him do that, you know? So when you look at – when you over-empower a player, you know, the negative effects of it is way beyond, you know, what you can imagine. You know, so when Tyrese says, okay, you know, this is what we need to do. Come on, you're supposed to be the leader of the team. You're the face of the franchise. You're supposed to be the first guy in the room at every meeting. You're supposed to be the first guy at the shoot-around. You're supposed to be the first guy. You lead by example. If you're the leader, those are the things that you do. You know, but when you've empowered him to do what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, and then you wonder why this team has faltered over the years, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Coaches always talk about it's the small things, the small things, the small things, the small things. All those small things add up to big things. So all of these little small things that they've empowered him and allowed him to do are leading up to where this basketball team is right now. And I don't know, to be honest with you. You know, listen, I love the Sixers. I would love for them to, you know, have success. I don't know that it's fixable, Joe. I really don't. You know, because at this point in his career, if he doesn't understand something that minuscule as far as how that affects the rest of the locker room and all the other players to see the leader not leading by example, when is he going to get it?
I don't think he – Seth, I'm with you. I don't think he is. I mean, at some point, you are what you are, and you are who you've shown to be, which is a talented player, but one that obviously the little things that the champions do, the Kobe's did, the Curry does, LeBron does, he doesn't do them, unfortunately. Seth, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll catch up next week before Thanksgiving, hopefully with a 9-2 football team. Thank you, Seth.
You got it, guys. Take
care. Have a good one.
There he goes, Seth Joyner. Hugh, I agree with Seth. And we reacted yesterday. Obviously, a little more came out last night. The Athletic had some more detail, including exactly what Maxey said to him.
Beats.
Like quotes,
yeah.
Which just means more stuff is leaking out. Hugh, I'm going to be fascinated tonight to see how the Sixers perform on the court. Joel, I assume, will play. We'll see. But they're in Memphis tonight. And then win or loss, the microphone will be in front of all of them after the game, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
They can't hide from this now. It came out. So I'm curious to see what Joel Embiid says tonight after the game.
Yeah, and how he plays.
Yep.
And I'm also, for me, I'm curious to the timing of all this. To me, Joe, is fascinating. Because you're talking about a guy who's been in the league for 10 years. And to try to have a come-to-Jesus moment now, when obviously this behavior has been going on for a while, I just think it's too little too late, man. Hey, Mike, as Mike Quick walks up, I think it's too little too late, man. I've never – it's almost like trying to tell a grown-ass child of yours to start treating you with respect, and they haven't done it.
Yeah, you messed up along the way.
Yeah, they haven't done it when they were little, you know. Or trying to potty train a puppy or a dog that's a year old. All of a sudden, now you want to try to potty train.
You missed it.
You missed the opportunity. So, yeah, it's like I don't understand that. I don't understand the timing of them having this come to Jesus moment with Joel now.
Well, I guess they're just fed up, and Maxey now maybe feels the power to do it. Today we're broadcasting all day at Chickies at Pete's at South Philly for Birds at the Half, all to benefit the Travis Mannion Foundation. And joining us here live for the rest of the hour is Mike Quick. Mike,
looking
how are we doing?
Dapper. What's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
What's going on
how
with you?
How you been, Mike?
I've been great, man.
Yeah.
What can I say? My life does not suck.
Well, that's good. That's great to hear. I like to hear that.
It's been pretty decent golf weather for you too, huh, Mike?
Yeah, man. I like it when extended to this time of year when you can still go out and you're not completely bundled up.
Are the greens all right? We've had like a 2 days of rain in 50 days.
Yeah, the greens are – some of them are – seeing it in there, you know, they need water. Everything needs water.
Of course.
Yeah, we need rain. We got a little bit last night in South Jersey. I don't know if you got it over here, but yeah, we need rain, and it's I need more.
Yeah, we do. Mike Quick with us, 215-592-9494. All right, Mike, let's talk about this Eagles team. If you had said to me 6 weeks ago at the bye that we'd be sitting here in the middle of November before Thanksgiving and we'd be having is this now a Super Bowl or bust kind of season for the Eagles, I'd say you're crazy. I mean, it looked like an extension of last year, the first 4 weeks. But, Mike, the last 6 weeks, this whole thing has turned.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
So you thought this was coming?
I thought the early part of the season, they didn't look like last year. I thought the early part of the season last year, they looked like they were world beaters. I thought they looked like they were one of the best teams in football, and they played really well. Although they didn't, they never played their best game. We're always looking for that best game, but they were winning.
Yep.
And they were convincing in their wins for the most part. But you could tell that there was something missing. And once they got to week 10 or 11, then they just kind of fell off a cliff.
This year's team, though, at 2-2, I didn't. Did you see this coming? Did you think this could turn around like this? Because when they hit the bye and they came out and barely beat Cleveland, it just felt to me like, what are we this year? And then since then, Mike, they're getting better and better, especially on the defensive side of the football.
Even when they were at 2-2, I didn't fret because I thought that this was a really good football team, a really good roster, and I just realized that the way things are run now, it takes a while for all of the timing for everything on both sides of the ball. When you talk about blitzing, when you talk about, you know, a lot of the way they play defense on the back end and passing off routes, all of those things takes a lot of coordination. It takes a lot of work and time on task to figure out how it all comes together. Now, after week four, when they had a chance to sit down and reassess and talk about things on both sides of the ball, things started to get better, and then they started to look better.
You know, Mike, you just made me think of a question I want to ask you, because you've seen so many different Eagles teams. You saw the one that I played on. You saw the one that went to the Super Bowl, and you saw this team. How difficult is it for you to look at each team on its own merit? Because to your point, the way that they do things, like the way that our team did things, is different.
Yes, way different.
Way different than the way that the 2017 team does things.
Yes.
And that 2017, this 2022 team does things differently than the 2017 team.
Right.
So how, with all of that information that you have, how difficult is it to assess what a good team looks like when you see all these different models of a good football team?
So I think you have to be able to adjust with what's happening today. Like that, you're right. The team in 2022, different than the 2017 and certainly different from when you played. When I look at today and the way they handle training camp and the way training camps are run, I know that when the season starts, you're not going to see the product that you're going to see in week four, five, six. I know that it's going to be different because of the way they train or the way they handle training camp. The quarterback was never tackled until the first game.
Mm-hmm.
No one's tackling anybody until they get through the preseason and to the regular season. There's no full contact. I won't say there's none, but there's rarely any full contact because you're so limited by the collective bargaining agreement as to how much you can hit, how much you actually put on pads and can hit one another. So the game is different. The way things are arranged, the way they practice, it's a lot of sitting down in the classroom and going through walkthroughs on the field, and you're getting it that way rather than going back to the way it was done in prior years where you're actually banging heads, and that's where you're breaking into the season.
And then don't they have, like, iPads that if they want, they could send, like say, hey, coach, at tonight, say, hey, I want you to look at these plays. And they can just shoot it to your iPad.
Right now. Listen, when they get on the plane traveling back from a game, everybody has their individual iPads, and the game is right there. Right now, I can sit down on the plane, and I can go through the game
and watch certain plays.
Every detail.
Are we talking about
We're
talking about the coach's copy.
We're not even talking about just the coaches. We're talking about every player that wants to go through every play.
Like their own snaps?
He's got an iPad to go through every single play. It's a different world.
Wow.
I would say the knowledge and that portion is poured into you a whole lot more than just the physical exertion of the game, especially in the early part.
I've always wondered that because it's more like even now, the OTAs and stuff, guys are being evaluated in OTAs for the regular season. Every time they walk into that building,
that's right,
you're being evaluated for the upcoming season.
I'll give you another one. At practice now, you can run a play, and after that play is over, you can look up on a big screen and see the replay of that play that you just ran so that you understand what's right on it, what's wrong on it, and what I need to fix. Right now in practice every day.
It's like real-time corrections instead of the next day. That's pretty incredible.
Wow.
You know, let me go back in the day. We would have to wait until that night or next day to look at the film.
Yeah, to cut the tape up.
Yeah. It was the next day. It wasn't that night. It would have to be the next day you could go in and look at the tape from the practice. At practices now, right now, they can look at it. The play just finished, it's already starting to run on the big screen at practice.
Mm.
Well, it's obviously making a difference, and they've made a big leap here, Mike. I mean, and the defense is really where it – like, the offense, we know they have a lot of talent, right? We expected them to score a lot of points.
Yeah.
Mike, it's this defense. I if you had said to me before the season, last year they were towards the bottom of the NFL when it all ended, if they jumped up to, like, 12th, 15th, I would have been fine with that. They're the number one defense in the NFL right now in terms of yards allowed per game, and they're, like, fifth in terms of points. Mike, this defensive turnaround has been remarkable.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about disciples of the Vic Fangio defense, and you know the Eagles are fortunate in that they don't have a disciple. They have the genuine article.
They got the real thing.
And,
yeah.
And the difference is, in my opinion, the way he goes about game planning and getting these guys prepared for each game and each task within those games.
Well, and you could see it. And the biggest difference feels like the linebacker play last year to this year, and then those DBs, Mike. I mean, those young DBs.
Yeah, they matter.
And they're good right away. Sometimes DBs take some time, right? They make mistakes. They get burnt. It feels like I'm watching like a six-year pro with Quinion out there. And Cooper has made a ton of plays.
So I would say, like, you know, if you know they're talented because both of these guys were projected to be drafted in the first round.
Yep.
They're probably, and I listen to Ray Dittinger a lot because I trust his word. Ray thought that these were the best two corners that were coming out of school, and the Eagles happened to get both of these guys. So you pair them with Christian Parker, the D-backs coach, who is a phenomenal technician in terms of teaching the game, teaching the technique, and really staying on and harping on the technique. When you have the guys...
Visit SimplyHatfield.com for recipes. And remember this Thanksgiving, put pork on your fork.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show live today. Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Chickies and Pete's gift cards for the holidays. The perfect gift that always fits and always gets returned. Buy in person here today or online at ChickiesandPete's.com. All right, we got a big guest list today. Mike Wick with us right now. Elliot Shore Parks at 12. Ike Reese at 1. Hugh and I hanging out with the afternoon show coming up at 2 o'clock as it's Birds at the Half, the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're throwing around this question. Is this now a Super Bowl or bust season for the Eagles? Do you view it that way, Mike? Do you view
it? Or bust?
See, you're with me. Hugh over here is saying Super Bowl or bust.
Always Super Bowl or bust.
But, Mike, I think their window is open for a few years. It's a young team, young defense.
I agree. I think there's a window, especially if you look at these first-year, second-year players that are so talented.
Yep.
Even if you go to, like, a Zach Bond who's just figured out his space in the National Football League and his position in the NFL – I just believe that the window here is pretty strong for a few years.
They don't have anyone on offense besides Becton, who's been pretty good as a guard, but they don't have anyone else besides him not under contract next year. Right? They'll all come back. Defense, Bond is going to be a big one because you know how the Eagles, they don't like to pay linebackers. But, Mike, I'd pay him. I mean, I don't want to let that guy go.
Well, we said the same thing about running backs a year ago, that the Eagles won't pay running backs. So just a few months ago. Well, and that changed, and – You bought a running back into Philadelphia who's a huge difference maker, and when you have that at any position, you have to reconsider the way you do things.
I agree. And maybe that you're right, that's a good point. Maybe the running back thing will change the way they think about linebackers here. The one question now in the NFC, right? You got the Lions at 1, you got the Eagles at 2. Mike, how big of a gap do you see? That Lions offense is humming right now. I mean, they put up 44 different times this year. Is it a big gap? Is it a small gap? What do you think the gap is, Detroit, Philadelphia?
I don't know how big the gap is, and I just believe that these two teams will see each other when you get to the postseason, and then you can determine. But Detroit's strong. They're really good. They're well coached. What I like most about them is that they beat people up. They are a physical football team, and that's on both sides of the ball, and that's – you know, I like that brand of football.
You know, Mike, I'm curious because you got a chance to see all three of these guys. You saw Boobie Miles when he was here, Miles Sanders.
Boobie.
You saw DeAndre Swift.
Yep.
And now Saquon Barkley. What?
Yeah.
I mean, and all three of them were Pro Bowl running. Well, Saquon's going to Pro Bowl this year.
Of course.
What is it about Saquon that makes him so different?
He just has everything. Yeah. He does.
Yeah, I know.
He has
I know
everything.
I'm just curious to see from your receiver's perspective.
Listen, he's first of all, he's a great young man.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with that. An unbelievable football player. He can run people over. He can sidestep you and make you look bad. He can run by you. He can protect in the passing game. I don't think there's anything that you ask a running back to do
that
he can't
do. Yeah.
He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And when you get him in space, it's just fun to watch him do his thing. And a guy that big, when you have defensive back, you have corners and safeties, and you see him just run right by them.
Look like he's getting shot out of cannon, too.
It's fun. It's just fun to watch.
Mike, do you have any concern, or do you think they need to think about the amount of touches he's getting? So he leads the NFL right now in attempts. It doesn't look like he's slowing down, but obviously the objective isn't just November, December. They also want to play into February here. Do you think they got to think through that? Because we always argue in this show about I think Gainwell is a very serviceable second back. Obviously he's not Saquon, but like I don't mind him getting the ball 5-6 times a game just to give a little breather to Saquon. Where do you come down on that?
And I think he does. Yeah, Kenny Gainwell I like a lot. I think he's a really good football player. And I think when they've had opportunities to give Saquon a break and put Gainwell in, they've done that. And I think we'll continue to see that, especially when you've got a fourth quarter lead and you know that you have the game in hand. Yeah, we'll see more of that. And even along the way, before you get to that point, there will be times within the course of the game where you want to have him in just to give Saquon a break. And Jamal Singleton, their running backs coach, he's the guy that – basically handles all of that.
215-592-9494. Birds of the Bye. We're live today. Chickies at Pizza South Philly. 50% off all crab fries purchased here today will go towards the Travis Mannion Foundation. We're going to have raffle ticket items on sale. Includes 2024 Eagles trip from fans of Philly. Lane Johnson, autographed merchandise, and a WIP studio sit-in. To enter, you must be on site. Come on out. Hang out with us. Lunch, dinner, everything, all day at Chickies at Pizza. Let's go back to the phone lines here to talk to Vince in Broomall. Vince, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Vince, what are you thinking about?
A lot of stuff to unpack. I have a multi-talented person for you, too.
Okay.
But, so I think from a fan standpoint, we can say all we want that, all right, this regime we could build and we could, you know, sort of be like a shoe-like stocks, like a blue-chip stock. We could grow slightly every year. But the NFL itself and inside the locker room, that identity changes every year. Like, we could not even have Zach gone next year. We don't know what the identity is going to be. So they have to be Super Bowl or bust. And we don't know when anything could end. Like, Hugh Douglas was in the locker room and saw a man doing shirtless sit-ups in his driveway, and everything ended. Like, we thought that for years. I mean, I remember when they lost in 2004. I was like, I was 18, I think, and it was like, oh yeah, they were so dominant that year. You couldn't help but think, oh, they're gonna be in the NFC Championship for the next 3 to 4 years because they just had been there in the previous 3 or 4 years.
So Vince, I agree, and I think as fans we all think that. But if you think back now, like think about it, that was their fourth straight run. Donovan was probably at that point 28, 29. He wasn't 24, 25 anymore. Like, the end for that group was Hugh was literally at the end.
Yeah, but that's not how we felt in the moment, though. That's
no, I know.
It's just like 2011, and for the Phillies, we didn't feel that in the moment.
Right, but now you look – yeah, you were cooked. But now you look back, Vince. 2011 Phillies were old. Howard got hurt. Like, the way I view this, Vince, is I think they can win the Super Bowl this year. They can. But this feels to me more like the 2001 Eagles, like if we're going back to that group. Like, they should have a few more years with this group to keep going. It doesn't mean
they should, but you said on the air, Joe, you said when the Phillies lost to the Astros, you said these exact words. You said, I'm okay with it because they weren't the better team. So that means you're saying that if your team isn't the number one seed in the league, you're okay with losing. You need to win when you're there because you don't know if it could be 30 years. Look at the Mets. The Mets haven't won a World Series since 1986.
Well, and Cleveland, to be fair, Indians. To your point I made about the Phillies haven't gotten back. Now, they've gotten close. They've been really good.
They might not get back to a World Series till 2047. That's
right.
Why you have to do it when you're there.
I get so I get it. So you feel 47 is a long time. Come on, man. We're getting any younger.
Ask the Cleveland Indians. When would you know the last time the Cleveland Indians won a World Series? 1948, I think it was.
54, I think, but it's a long time ago. Yep.
Hey Vince, I actually agree with you because. Mm-hmm. If you think back a lot of years ago, probably one of the best passers in all of football, a guy by the name of Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Only went to one.
He went to one, and he never sniffed another Super Bowl in his entire career.
Exactly right.
So I think every season, if you have an opportunity, you have to go all in and you have to try and win Super Bowls. But
especially in football.
Especially in this game. But if this doesn't happen this year, I just don't think it's the end all. I just think that this organization is strong enough that they're gonna be strong for a while. But I do agree, you put everything that you have into this thing this year because you have a huge opportunity right here in front of us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're getting better, Vince. It's like if they were, you know, if this was kind of like last year where it felt like, all right, they're really good, but there's some holes. Like, this team feels like it's getting better by the week. All right, Vince, what do you got for us? A multi-talented individual for our giveaway today for Combo-Con.
So I hope no one's already said this. I think he's probably the most talented person on the planet. Jamie Foxx, he has an Oscar, he has a Grammy, and he was a high school quarterback, and he wanted to be in the NFL.
That's
dude,
a good
he can
one.
Do absolutely anything. There's nothing yeah. he can't do.
I like that one, Vince. Good call. All right, Jamie Foxx. So Leonardo da Vinci and Jamie Foxx, you are our first two.
Well, I think Jamie Foxx is the lead in the clubhouse right now.
Over Leonardo da Vinci?
Yeah.
Well, he's more modern for sure.
Yeah.
We get to experience a lot of the
Leonardo da Vinci,
like the painter and Renaissance guy from way back in the day.
Yeah, somebody thought way out the box.
Yeah.
That
well, they were. Okay. Yeah, when we started this, Mike, and you fit this bill, you know, player, broadcaster. We had Hugh Douglas as a football player, right now a talk show host. And
actor.
Did you know Hugh was an actor?
Yeah, I got a couple.
Yeah, he's acting all the time.
Acting, I would say acting too.
Yeah, someone told me he was going to be Santa. Is that true?
I you know what's funny?
Santa?
Big Red was making fun of me, though. They had a chance of me and Paul Grassmanis was hanging out. And Big Red was making fun of my beard, talking about I did look like Santa a little bit. The black Santa. He said so.
So are you going to be Santa? Is that going on?
No, I think you should be Santa.
Oh, come on, you.
Come on, man. You can make, like, the day for a lot of kids.
Yeah.
No, dress up. I'm not that friendly.
Dress up in all red?
I'm not that friendly.
Then you be the Grinch, then. We'll turn that beard green.
They made me dress up. I said they. Like somebody put a gun in my head. But I dressed up as Santa last year. It was cool. It was all right.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. During the Eagles game.
Oh, I remember the Christmas game.
Yeah,
I remember that. Let's go to Chuck in Manor. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Gilio, what's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Chuck.
Hey, listen, I want to say to Mr. Quick real quick, it's an honor to be on the line with you. I'm a huge fan of yours, Mr. Quick. I've been listening to you sit with Merle for years, and I just look forward to game day listening to you, and you're one of my top five favorite Eagles, man.
Hey, Chuck, can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
I listen to this station a lot, and you might be my favorite caller on this station.
That's an honor.
I don't tell him. Nah, he about to.
No, hold up. You come on, man.
Chuck, good dude.
Chuck, every year Chuck gets a new either current or former player to say this. Because at one point, Bryce Harper shouted out Chuck. And that was a big thing, Chuck. So now you got Mike Quick and Bryce on your side.
Well, listen, I love it, man. But Mike Quick is, like, honest to God. Like, he didn't have to say that. Like, he's one of my favorite Eagles ever played the game.
Quick sense.
Number 82 running down that sideline, man, catching the balls, man. It's nostalgic, man. So that's just what it is. But
thank you, Chuck.
No problem. I called up to say this, right? I believe the team window is open. But I also believe that when the iron is hot, you got to strike. And this year, there's only one team standing our way. And that's the Detroit Lions. Now, I believe that, in my heart of heart, I really believe if we play Detroit, our defense can hold their own against them, whether it's here or in Detroit. I love our secondary going up against them, and I believe our pass rush is getting home now. And if Jalen Carter continues to play like he's playing like a mini Warren Sapp or like a Fletcher Cox in his prime, you know, Aaron Donovich, you know, this team can sky's the limit. The linebacker play, I really think we match up well against Detroit. But when I look at this team, I'm comfortable with every position. I'm comfortable with wide receiver. I'm comfortable with offensive line. I'm comfortable with defensive line. Every other position. I'm just not sold on Jalen Hurts. I believe he is the weakest link of this offense. And if for us to get to where we need to go, he has to play better. Now, we could have blown out the Jacksonville Jaguars like Detroit did, but, you know, the coach and the quarterback didn't allow us to do that. Detroit took care of business against them. But, you know, we let them back in the game because our quarterback didn't put his foot on their neck. And our coach, you know, made some boneheaded decisions. But I just think that this quarterback is the weakest link of this team. And that's the only position that I'm not comfortable. I'm not saying Jalen's a bad quarterback. But in order for us to beat these guys, which I know we can, I need Jalen to play better, man. I keep saying it.
Well, Chuck, when you go through it, when you look at, like, if you break it all down, Lions and Eagles, there's a lot of similarities where they rank and how good they are. The one difference feels like the pass game, right? We take a lot more sacks than they do. We don't throw for as many yards. It feels like that's we got to get cleaned up. Chuck, give us a great, multi-talented individual. Who you got?
I'm going to go with, let's say, The Rock. The Rock was a good
The Rock is a good one.
Great actor. So I'm a good actor. You know what I mean? So I like
The
Rock.
He made it as an actor. You don't like Rock, The Rock, Hugh?
What? How is he multi-talented?
Well, he transformed from a wrestler to an actor.
But he's still an actor. The wrestler's an actor.
Yeah, no, but when I think wrestler, it's a different kind of thing. It's more of a showman than an actor. I understand it.
Yeah,
how it works.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm just like, I know we're playing semantics here, but it's, to me, he's just taking it out of the ring and put it on.
But
you know
he also
saying?
Could wrestle. Most actors can't wrestle.
I see what you're saying. I give you that.
He could do the athletic part and the wrestling.
No, I give you that. He's a show, but he's still acting. But I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of a wrestler. All right, Mike, what do you think about the pass game right now? Because I think we all think they'd have a real chance to beat Detroit, and man for man they match up. But it just feels like something's off, Mike, with the passing game. They take a lot of sacks per drop back. I know they don't throw it 40 times a game, but they take a high percentage of sacks. And it just feels like it's stuck in mud sometimes. What are you seeing?
So I think the passing game just has to do what it's doing. It has to complement the run game because this team's strength is running the football behind one of the better offensive lines, if not the best in all of football, and one of the best running backs in the game. The passing game at times is what you need, and you want it to be better, of course. And there are times when it's hot, when it works. You know, Chuck was talking about the quarterback. Yeah, he's not perfect, but what I see in this quarterback is that he will make enough plays for you to win games. He's not going to make every play that's there, and that's just who we have. But at the end of the day, this guy makes a whole lot of plays. And without some of the plays that he makes, then I don't know where this team is.
Well, the play he made last week that I think flew under the radar, that run he had by the sideline where he stretched his arm out and got the first down.
Huge.
That
play.
Was a huge one. Yeah, I think sometimes we look at him and we look at the weapons he has and we expect
more.
We expect high flying.
More.
And
we do.
It's not pretty, but it is effective, Mike. I mean, they've won a lot of football games since he got here.
You want more. It's one of those things where we see the weapons that we have, and we've made – We always talk about it. We talked about it yesterday. You put another quarterback in his offense, and what would it look like? And that's what you see. Like, he makes plays, but it's – we want to watch games, man, where we can go grab a beer in the first half because we already up 14 points. We want to be able to go grab a bag of chips or something. We want to be able to go get those garbage bags that maybe we had to run to the quick trip real quick.
And, go and, you do know, some chores around the corner. The game's over.
Do a quick chore or something. Maybe knock those dishes out real quick because we're up 14 points. Yeah. We ain't got that luxury. We ain't got that luxury right now.
No, I like it when it comes down to the last possession. Many times the last play. It's a whole
Is
lot
that
more,
what we like?
We don't. It's a whole lot more fun for me.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Mike. I never liked them games.
So you want them to? You want 40 points and?
Well, I didn't say 40.
You want blowouts?
I want at least 14.
You want to relax in the fourth
I want at
quarter.
Least 14. I don't like them games where the defense is backed up and they're driving. And somebody, you know, you got maybe Peyton Manning over there. You talking about Lord have mercy?
You don't like being on the edge of the seat.
Or them games where it comes down to the last possession, they score real quick, like that Kirk Cousins game. Kirk Cousins marched down the field.
Well, that wasn't fun.
Then we look at our quarterback like, Lord have mercy.
You know what this is?
what's about to happen?
I know what this is. Hugh's half falling asleep on the couch, and he wants to be able to close those eyes and doze off.
He wants to be able to take a nap.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Like, who doesn't like those comfortable games? Nobody wants that game to be like, hey, if I drop this damn pass – or they going to kill me on a Monday, or your teammates looking at you like, damn, dog. Remember in the championship game, AFC championship game, when Cincinnati had the Kansas City Chiefs on the ropes and the defensive line, the linebacker, pass interference.
Or he pushed them Mahomes out of bounds.
Penalty. And quit. And they go in the locker room, and his teammate, he couldn't even hold it. Why'd you touch him? He was like, he yelled at him. Dude, I don't know. I don't want them games. I don't know.
So
no,
that, all right, that leads me to this. Mike.
I love it. I like the nail biters, especially when you're in my seat during the game.
For you, it's great.
And I've got Merrill next to me, and I see him going crazy, and it's like with these nail biters. They are the fun, especially when we end up – no, I will say this. When we end up on the right side.
That makes it good, yeah.
That's when it – yeah.
Well, and
I
the
like the nail bite.
The NFL is kind of so
like
many of those. I mean, most games are decided by, you know, 4 points or less. That's the NFL. All right, correct. Mike, it leads me to this. 2 years ago, we had a lot of the games that Hugh is referencing, right? The 2022 Eagles were blowing teams out. They were up 14-0, 17-0. Yeah. That was kind of the way they played. Is this team better than the one 2 years ago?
All right, why? Yeah. And I don't even hesitate to say it. I just like the talent, the youth, the coaching.
Saquon's obviously a different element.
No, just the talent. When you look at the talent all the way around, when you look at the way these guys are coached up, I'm really impressed with this coaching staff and what they're doing with this football team. That's why I have a lot of faith in this team going deep into the playoffs.
I think we've reached a point now where most people expect at least an NFC championship appearance. And then we'll see, right? If they could beat Detroit, and then we're heading to New Orleans. I mean, Hugh and I are taking a busload of the audience
he's
to New Orleans.
Down.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about going down to New Orleans.
Well, Hugh wanted to do it like his own trip.
It started out me and Ike.
We commandeered the trip.
Then Joe took the trip over.
So it went from an SUV to a bus?
Yes.
Yeah. Went to a whole bus. But, you know, to be fair, Ike started to flake. Like, we ain't nowhere near the trip. But do you know how, because initially when I asked, like, I said, hey, we gonna take this car ride, right? He said, yeah. And as the weeks progressed, he started, he started to get a little flaky. So, I mean, this might be the alternative.
This might be the only way you're getting there, Hugh, so you better get on board. Let's talk to Gary in Vineland. What's up, Gary?
What's going on?
Hey, Gary, what are you thinking, buddy?
I'm thinking ease bounding down, running up and chucking.
You know, we going to do what they say can't be done.
Gary wants a spot on the bus. What do you got, Gary?
Got a long way to go
and a short time to get there.
That's right. Nah, we got plenty of time to get there. Get a little Buckies up.
Well, yeah, if we leave Friday after the bye week, we got to be there.
Get some brisket in your life.
Yeah, we got to be there Monday for our show down in New Orleans. So we got 2 days. We're good.
Bourbon brisket. But, yeah, no, I just think it's a more complete team than last year. It's like night and day. Like last year we were winning, but every game we were like, hey, great, we won again. But this year we could win in so many different ways, and we got a defense with a secondary. It's fun to watch.
Well, and they're young, and they're getting better and better, Gary. That's the big thing. All right, Gary, so you got this as Super Bowl or bust?
Super Bowl or bust.
All right, Gary, what do you got for us? Give us a multi-talented individual.
When I saw this guy on television, I was like, that guy? John Dornbos.
That's a really good answer.
That's a really, really good one.
Yeah. You know what?
Football, the magic man.
Football really good. And magic. Yeah. Yeah, Gary, I like that answer. That might be one of the more unique ones we get today, Mike.
He can sing, too.
Oh, I haven't heard
that.
He
can?
JD can sing as well.
Yeah. I tell you what, he's very, very talented. Very, very talented.
That's one of my favorite answers so far. Mike, we appreciate you you being here for this hour with us.
Absolutely, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to join you. You.
Hey, quick.
And so we'll hear you Sunday night for the call. This is a fun game, the Rams game on Sunday. They're not a great team, but they have some elements. Obviously, their passing game they're quite good there.
Well, the two top wide receivers, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, they both missed a lot of games. Yep. One's missed five, one's missed six, but now they're back. It's a type of team that, you know, some games they're hot, they can be really good, but then some games they just don't look that hot. So it's you don't know what you're getting with that team. So the Eagles have to go out there ready for a fight.
Yes, it will be. It'll be a fun one. Mike, we appreciate you hopping on.
All right, guys.
Thank you. There he goes. Mike Quick. All right, a lot to do here on the show the rest of the way. Elliot Shore Parks will join us coming up from noon to 1, live at Chickies at Pete's. Ike Reese will be with us at 1 o'clock today. It is Birds at the Half as we celebrate the Eagles here today, an 8-2 football team, and really look forward to the rest of the year. We're live today from Chickies at Pete's at South Philly Birds at the Half, benefiting the Travis Mannion Foundation. A portion of the proceeds, all the crab fries sold today, will be donated to the Travis Mannion Foundation. Come on out, register for some great prizes. Hang out at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll be guest bartending. He will be slinging drinks. We're having a good time.
Drinks.
And, of course, it is Combo-Con today, your final day to register for the Midday Show's Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway, sponsored by Gerhard's Appliances and Jack Daniels. We are giving away an incredible array of prizes, including a TV, a smoker, Jack Daniels stuff. It's incredible what we have today. The Jenga board, everything for your tailgate giveaway. And today we're looking for a multi-talented individual. Best answer we get today, it wins the qualifying prizes and is entered for the grand prize. 215-592-9494. We got to get to Elliott's Takes next. And, of course, yours. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.